In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Well, so this weekend we are, of course, celebrating two holidays. One is Memorial Day, where we recognize the work and the sacrifice made by persons in the armed forces in this country. And sort of celebrate the blessing of being in a place where we can practice and express our faith without a lot of inhibition or oppression. And the other, which I'm guessing may or may not be on your iPhone's scheduler, is Trinity Sunday. And across this nation and across Facebook, many of my colleagues are very, very anxious this morning because they believe that they have to explain the Trinity to the members of their parishes without significant theological error in 8 minutes or less. I'm not going to try, and I'm not very anxious as a result. But we will talk about it, and there will be a test. I was thinking of ways to get into the subject matter, and I was remembering a favorite seminary professor. And, you know, seminary is a time when you're learning a lot, and there's a lot of weighty ideas that people are kicking around and arguing about and trying to learn and figuring out if we still agree with and how we agree with them and things like that. So a lot of people loved one of our teachers because she was sort of pure sass in the face of all of that. And she would go on these 15-minute tears and talk about random things. And then all of a sudden she would land it right on the topic of the readings and the theology. And you remember what those lessons were because you'd remember her crazy ranting story. I'm not going to go off for 15 minutes on a tangent. But I do want to share one of her stories, which had to do with getting a traffic ticket. And she had been driving to work on her commute and had sort of rolled through one of those blinking red lights, the ones that we all knew what to do with when we took the driver's test and more or less forgotten. But she had rolled through one, and sure enough, the officer picked her up and saw it and flagged her and pulled her over. And she started arguing with the guy. And if you know anything about anything, you know that that's the least likely way to not get a ticket, right? But she started arguing with him, and finally she got exasperated and said, "Well, for goodness sake, everyone goes through that light." And then she turned it back to theology. She said, "If he had known theology, he would have known that he had me. Because it's not that I didn't deserve the ticket. It's not that a lot of other people got away with it, so I should too. If he wanted to be in pure judgment, in a pure case of what's fair, I deserved it." And that, she said, is sort of like our relationship with God. If God wanted to make a choice to judge the world, God could probably find something that each of us has done wrong. If God wanted to make a ledger of all the things we're accountable for and, you know, sort of assign a certain number of years in perdition or something like that to the mistakes we make, God could probably rack up the score pretty quickly. But I believe that part of what we're called to understand about the Trinity is that that's not how God works. When you think about the stories of the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether it's the Psalms or the letters, over and over again, I think we see a picture of God who is making a decision in creation to love us. Over and over, I think we see God making a decision to show us how to love each other, to invite us back when we stray away, to pick us up when we trip and fall, to give us a second chance, and then to give us a third chance, and then to give us a fourth chance, even though we're still not getting it right. The lessons of Jesus that show us a way to live, the stories of the covenant and God coming back to us when we break it, the statements that we hear about the Spirit that will be forever with us, even if we can't see it, even when we're not sure it's there, are over and over again a story that God has chosen to love the world and to teach us in the world how to love each other. I was struck by that theology lesson from a sassy professor about a traffic ticket in this last week. Because I think I was given the gift of a reminder that sometimes we learn theology just out of our daily lives. And I was given that reminder when I myself, not long ago, was pulled over by a traffic officer. Now, I told this story at the 5:30 service, and Deacon Barb told me afterwards, I need to be clear, I was not wearing my collar at the time. So I was pulled over, and you know, I'd given the guy my license, and he had walked back to the car. And so I sort of thought at that point, you know, the momentum of the thing is there. We're on the path. I know what's going to happen. You know, in a few minutes, he's walking back with the ticket. I was sort of thinking to myself, you know, of course it's this month when I've had some other expenses, and it's the worst month to pay the bill, and I really did do it. I earned the ticket. I really was going that, you know, 3 or more miles over the speed limit. We do a confession at church, right? And I was trying to console myself and thinking things like, well, you know, there's a lot of people where this would be a much bigger break in their budget than mine. You know, I can kind of shift some stuff around. I know how I'm going to deal with this. But I was just dejected. You know, I was sort of sitting there thinking, you know, gosh, this is just too bad. And the guy walked back, and he had a slip of paper, and he hands it through the window. And he's saying words, but I'm, you know, it's all sort of just noise because I'm feeling the weight of this paper. And all of a sudden, the words in the paper kind of clarify and resolve back into real human speech. And I hear him say, now you can keep that or do whatever you want with it. I just have to give it to you. It's a warning. Mercy at the hands of a traffic officer. And the sense of relief that I felt was completely out of proportion with the event. Right? I mean, this would not have changed my life in any significant way, one way or the other. You know, I mean, it's a matter of lattes or something, right? That's what we're talking. But I just, you know, sort of felt my spirit kind of all come back to me. You know, just sort of a flash of joy in the face of dejection. And I sort of stopped the guy as he was walking away, and I said, can I just tell you how much this means to me? You know, and this is really something, you know, this would have been the worst month for this. And he kind of, you know, smiled and said, well, just don't do it again. But if I'd had a little more time, I might have told him that it had been for me an image of that grace, of that same kind of choice that God makes to give us relief instead of judgment, to give us peace instead of a sword, to give us an opportunity to be known and to be loved, these wonderful invitations that are issued to Christians. That is what it means to stand and behold the Trinity, is to find in our lives those moments of grace and to breathe in that story that God loves us as deeply as we can, to stretch our lungs out as much as we can, to learn as much as we can from gospel and prayer and one another and the stuff of our everyday lives, that God has given us these blessings so that we can bless each other. That is the life of the baptized. That's the core questions of faith. That's the vision that Jesus has brought us, that God has shown us, that Spirit renews in us over and over again to be a force of love and change and healing in the world. Now that, to me, is a more powerful way to think about the Trinity than all of the best theology books, with due respect to people who have written some very good theology books. But if you can find that somewhere in your life and take it into your heart and make that the core of how you relate to the people that you know, if you can live by those two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and if you can find your neighbors everywhere, then you'll be living in the vision that God, the Trinity, has set forth for the world. You'll be offering and receiving the kind of relief that makes our spirits soar. you'll be giving people gifts over and over again of healing, of grace, of love and care and relationship on the good days and on the dark days in their lives. And God will meet you there. And you will find that you've been walking beside Jesus. You will find that the Spirit has been with you. You will find that you have been known and beloved by God as you've done that work. So as you go through the stuff of life, the good and the bad, the joyous and the traffic violations, may you find the opportunity to take that in and to make it an opportunity to love and be loved. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.